Thank you for accepting me. Goshen now, I'm part of Goshen. Yes. Glory to God. Do you know that before we met, I had known you? Yes, one of my sons schooled in University of Ghana, one of the universities, I don't know. And he was the one that told me about you many years ago. Let us pray. Lord, we give you praise, we give you glory, we thank you because of your kindness, and we ask that you come into our midst and glorify yourself in Jesus' mighty name. You may be seated. God bless you indeed. Revelation chapter 12, beginning from verse 7. Revelation 12, beginning from verse 7. I salute all of us for taking out time this Saturday morning to come to church. And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought against his angels and prevailed not. Neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Now, verse 11 is reading, we have entered into the litigation phase, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. Now, so we are seeing two resources that we can take advantage of to overcome this accuser. So we are going to take the first item that was mentioned in that scripture, how to overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If you are still with me, say amen. Now, just in case we have any reason to continue this subject in the future, it will be needful for us to understand the voices that speak in the courtroom of God. And your expertise in litigation is revealed in your capacity to take advantage of the voices that are already speaking in the courts of heaven. In view of the above, I would like to show us a little spectrum of the voices that speak in the courtroom. We will not have time to go into the details of how to take advantage of each voice, but I want to show you the spectrum and also to show you that the blood of Jesus has vocabulary, has a voice within that frame of reference. So we'll go to Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 22. It said, but ye are come unto... There's so much that is spoken about Mount Zion in the affairs of the kingdom of God. Mount Zion refers to God's judicial headquarters. How do I know this? Who is there? If you can flash Psalms 110 from verse 1, we'll find somewhat about Mount Zion. And the Bible doesn't say we are going to Mount Zion. The Bible says we are come unto Mount Zion. That's where we are. That's where we function from. We're functioning from Mount Zion. And it's necessary for us to understand how to function from that place. In the book of Psalms 110 verse 1, the Bible says, "And the Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool." That's verse 1. This scripture is revealing to us a kingdom scenario, and it was an interface between the Father and the Son. And the subject matter here was the issue of Jesus' portfolio in the kingdom of God upon fulfilling the work of redemption on the cross. When he ascended into heaven, he was given two capacities, two honors. He was exalted by being admitted to an administrative role in the heavens. Are you still with me? All right, so you will see that, and this place is this, the name of the location where all of this activity is taking place is Zion. So the seat that Jesus was assigned on or upon his return to heaven happens to be an administrative seat of the Christos. And the Christos is the one that manages the purposes of God. Every purpose that God intends to administer, to accomplish, is administered through the office of the Christos. It's an administrative office. So we see administration in Zion. Next verse. You see, the Lord shall send the rod of his strength out of Zion. So you know the location where all of this is happening is Zion. And the rod of God's strength, which happens to be the Holy Ghost. When you hear rod in kingdom terminology, it's revealing to power and authority. So Zion is also a place of power, it's a place of authority. Are you with me? And the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion, rule that thou in the midst of thine enemies. So anywhere the rod and the strength of God is present, then government take place. Rulership take place. Dominion begins to take place. Are you with me? And so that's the kind of place that Zion is. It is a place for administration. It is a place for government. It is the place for judicial realities. That's the hub. That's the hub of government that resides in God's administrative headquarters. And so the Bible says that we are come unto Mount Zion. He didn't say we are coming. He said that's where we are. So it is necessary for every one of us in this room to know how to function in Mount Zion. Great is the Lord, the psalmist says, and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of his holiness. Beautiful for situation. The joy of all the earth is Mount Zion. Sides of the cities of the north, even of the great king. You see, it's Mount Zion. That's where the greatness of God is put on display. And it happens to be that by New Testament theology, we are operating from Mount Zion. So the Bible didn't say we are coming while on a mission to Zion. The Bible says ye have arrived already. Hallelujah. Okay, so let's find out what is in this Zion unto which we have already arrived. But ye are come unto Mount Zion, unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, to an innumerable company of angels. It means that in this Zion, the testimony of angels will influence what happens here. There are two kinds of servants that God has. We have angelic servants, because the Bible says he maketh his ministers spirits. Are you with me? He maketh his ministers spirits and his servants flames of fire. There are two categories of entities revealed in that scripture. Are you here? Stay with me. It's Saturday morning, so we can afford to calm down and, you know, get something straightened out. He maketh his angels spirits. So that's the first kind of minister. Angels. He made them spirits. Then the Bible says he made his ministers flames of fire. The word ministers there is public servants. Public servants. You see, the spirits are not visible in the physical realm. Are you with me? But the public servants are visible in the physical realm. In fact, by the time you go to the book of Revelation, the word translated angel, the angel of the church in Smyrna, is angelos. Angelos means, it doesn't mean the kind of angel that English language makes you think that is what the scripture is talking about, but it's talking about a messenger that is in the public space. So, angel to the churches in the book of Revelation actually most accurately means the pastor of that church. Because if God is sending a message to the church, he will use a human instrument to communicate it, not an angelic instrument. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. So there are two kinds of functionaries here. We have the angels that operate, they are hidden away in the spirit dimension. And then we have men that are manifested in the public space. So, two. According to design, the angels were designed to be spirits, so they will function within the spirit framework of things. And the public servants were designed, if they are going to operate optimally, their true identity should be flames of fire. So your optimum operation is going to be realized when you kindle the flames of God. You will have the capacity to become a law enforcement agent. You can establish the will of God. You can entrench the intention of God within the space in which God has domiciled you. Are you still with me? All right. So I did a brief Bible study, and I found that if I'm not a burning flame, I can be marginalized. I found that if I'm not on fire for God, I can be pushed aside. Not because God wants me to be pushed aside, but I failed to supply my own part of the covenant, which is the responsibility to keep myself burning. God will not kindle the flame that is supposed to be on your life by his own sovereignty. That's your own responsibility in the package. Hallelujah. And meanwhile, there's a difference between being baptized in the Holy Ghost and being baptized in fire. Two different things. But if you want to be a law enforcement agent to be used to prosecute the counsel of God, you will have to receive the baptism of fire. In fact, these two impartations are two different experiences in the Holy Ghost. Oh, you don't believe me? It is when you begin to press in the place of prayer, begin to press in tongues for long hours, God arranges a moment where He baptizes you in fire. That is supposed to be your true element. It's when you are a carrier of this fire that you have the capacity to cause changes, the capacity to stop the activity of the devil as it has to do with your jurisdiction. So the Bible says that we are come unto Mount Zion, we are come unto the city of the living God. He said we have come unto what? An innumerable company of angels. So one of the voices you are likely to hear in Zion is the voice of angels. You are come also to the general assembly, the church of the firstborn written in heaven. You see, we as the church of the firstborn, our registration is in heaven, not on earth. You see, before you start any business in Nigeria that has to do with food and drug, there is an agency of government called NAFDAC that will have to come certify your products. It's upon that certification that people can be at home with what you are offering. It happens to be that concerning the church, it is not NAFDAC that registers us. We are registered in heaven. It means that even though we are in a pilgrimage upon the face of the earth, we can make impact where we are registered. So you will find in the Old Testament, you will find stuff like God heard the cry of the children of Israel, because that cry ascended to court. It became a concern in court. And it was on the strength of that cry that God made a resolve that it is time for Him to send the deliverer. So because even though we are manifested on the earth, we are part of that system in the heavens. Are you with me? So it means that the voice of the church can also be such a voice that can influence things within that chamber. That's number two. Number three, we have come also to the judge of all. So the voice of the judge, it is through his voice that justice and judgment is unveiled, and a new set of possibilities can begin to find expression just when God decides to speak. One of the things that Satan did not know in the Garden of Eden, he didn't know that God could speak again. You know, when Adam failed because of the deception that Satan brought his way, it was like God had failed. So Satan was rejoicing. But unfortunately for Satan, God can still speak again. And that's what God did. In that same garden, God decided to utter his voice, and he gave a prophecy. He spoke about the seed of the woman that will bruise the head of the serpent. You see, if Satan cannot cause God to stop speaking, it means that there are new sets of possibilities that Satan cannot stop. Because when God utters his word, new possibilities, new frameworks begin to find expression. And so when you come to the court of God, the judge of all also has a voice. It is on the strength of the voice of the judge that a new framework is made available that will outlaw the activities of darkness. So we have the voice of the judge. Each item I'm mentioning here is a supposed to be a full day's teaching. Because we are supposed to know how to use those voices in Zion to get God to give verdicts that will strengthen our possibilities upon the face of the earth. Now, the spirits of just men made perfect. I've had encounters before. Are you with me? And God showed me a few things. Part of what he showed me was about the United Kingdom. I traveled to Brazil, and from Johannesburg to Guarulhos is 10 hours 50 minutes. 10 hours 50 minutes. And if your body clock does not adjust, you will be sleeping when men are awake, and you will be awake when men are sleeping. So unfortunately for me, my clock did not adjust. So in the night times, I'm always awake, seriously awake. And in my training in discipleship, I was told that if you have sleep problems, convert it to prayer. Please help me preach to your neighbor. If you have sleep problems, convert it to prayer. And when you begin to pray, Satan will make you sleep by himself. Satan will come and help you to sleep. He will. So I began to pray. And when I started praying, I was caught up in a vision. And I saw curtains high up into the heavens. And the tall guy that I saw, I don't know if it was a man or an angel, he said, "Those curtains I'm seeing are the spirits, white, shining, glistering, linen kind of garments." He said, "Those are the spirit of just men made perfect. And that one is John Knox." Oh. And I heard what they were saying. They were appealing to the judge of all. They were appealing and saying that when they were on earth as intercessors, God promised them a few things. And right now, when they peep into the earth, those things have not yet happened. What's happening? So it was, they were appealing to God. So I've seen that scene before. But are you with me? Sometimes what determines the move of God in the earth are the petitions that some people that have finished their course through this life, that caught covenant with God in the spirit through the operation of their altars. Right? Those men can press some charges in the court that will occasion an emergency in the earth. So part of the voices you will find right there is the voice of the spirits of just men that are made perfect. Like, just I'm mentioning them, we are not teaching them. But you can study them anyway. My own emphasis for this morning is the blood. Alright, what else can we find in Zion? You will find Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant. So the voice of the Lord is in that judicial space. Are you still with me? Then you will also find, how many voices have we identified so far? What? Well, the Lord will help us. Some people say three, some five. Well, you can check it out when you have time. We also have the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. Do you notice, I'd like you to pay attention, do you notice that the blood is not called the blood? It's called the blood of sprinkling. It's called what? It is the blood of sprinkling that has vocabulary. It speaketh better things than the blood of Abel. So my concern this morning is on the subject of the blood of sprinkling and how it influences justice in the court of heaven. Because we are going to use the blood this morning. Yeah, that's the objective. If you are still with me, say amen. Amen. All right, so I need to define what exactly the blood of sprinkling means. Notice it didn't say the blood, but it said the blood of sprinkling. That means only one thing in the entire Bible. Only one thing. Are you still with me? So we are going to do a brief study to understand what the blood of sprinkling means. So I want to invite us to turn our Bible to the book of Exodus chapter 24. In Exodus chapter 24, as I attempt to show us what the blood of sprinkling means, because it is the blood of sprinkling that speaks, and the quality of the utterance of the blood of sprinkling is such that it is better than the blood of Abel. So, in Exodus chapter 24, verse 1, and he said unto Moses, come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and the 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all these words, and the Lord and all his judgments. And the people answered with one voice and said, all the Lord's words which the Lord had spoken, we will do. And Moses wrote all the words of the Lord, and rose up early in the morning, and builded an altar under the hill, and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel. And he sent young men of the children of Israel, which had offered burnt offerings and sacrifices, sacrificed peace offerings and oxen unto the Lord. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. And he took the book of the covenant. You know, we talked about the books. The books were open. Okay. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord had said, we will do and be obedient. And Moses took the book and sprinkled it on the people. He took the blood, and sprinkled it on the people and said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord has made with you concerning these words. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, this is what is happening. This is a great day. It's a very high ceremonial moment in the history of the children of Israel. Because what happened here was that, you know, Moses had been going to the mountain to receive the laws of the Lord, and he's been doing that. But when the laws of the Lord by which Israel was going to be governed were completed, God asked Moses to come up to the mountaintop with the elders of each tribe, because the principle of headship was playing out in that scripture. He instructed that the elders of each tribe can stay afar off. Only Moses has been trained enough to interface with God closely. So, when Moses went to commune with God, he found that the Lord has been given to him concerning Israel were accomplished. You see, the idea of the nation of Israel is that God wants to be their king. So it was the Lord that gave them their law. The Bible says that the Lord is our king, the Lord is our lawgiver, and the Lord is our judge. That's where we got our judiciary, executive, and legislative from. But in Israel, the judiciary, the legislative, and the executive happens to be one personality, and he is the Lord. So this scripture reveals when God, the legislator, begins to legislate laws, begins to issue laws by which Israel will be governed. And on this great day, the ceremony that was conducted was a ceremony to acknowledge the fact that the law was complete. So the representative of each tribe was supposed to be present in this high service. And when they had gotten the document, Moses in the company of the elders came to the foot of the mountain and called some young men to make sacrifices. Part of the blood of the bulls that were sacrificed were kept in a basin. And at the high moment of the ceremony, Moses now comes and he asks the people, this is the content of all the revelations I've received from God as touching our culture, our custom, what is acceptable, what is an abomination. This is the compendium of the document. And the people said, everything that the Lord has said, we will do and we will obey. So when they had spoken that as a word of covenant, Moses went and took the blood that was in the basin and he sprinkled it on the people. He also sprinkled it on the book. Guess what that was? Signature. That's law of contract. It was on the strength of their testimony and the blood of sprinkling that the contract was sign. So it is through blood. Are you still with me? That what? The contract was signed. That's why I'm saying that the blood of sprinkling means a definite thing. It's not just blood. The blood of what? A few years ago, some teachers rose up in the body of Christ and they came up with a doctrine, hyper grace doctrine. And they wanted to restructure the scope of Bible teaching. Part of their propositions was that in view of the fact that the Bible says that a covenant cannot be of force until the death of the testator, it therefore means that the New Testament began when Jesus died. That's the logic of the proposition. Are you with me? So, based on that logic, everything that existed before the cross was Old Testament. And many of you believe that. Thank God we have a lawyer here. In law of contract, we'll first fully articulate the contract on it in a document. That's all. When both parties have read through, in my own case, I don't read through, I just give my lawyer. Because you need to understand, they can rope you and your generations. So, for him to isolate those gray areas that can become fetters and chains. Right? So, the document is crystallized, and when the document is crystallized, we read through and then we consent that we like the language, the tone of the agreement. And we also like the sharing formula. You are bringing the money, I'm bringing the technical know-how. So maybe you go with 60%, I do 40%, I'm comfortable with that. And everything is spelled out in the open. The lawyers look into the document. It is when we have agreed that we sign. Are you there? Now, what this teaches by that logic, you know what they're saying? If we want to do law of contract, we get an empty sheet of paper. We sign first before we begin to enter the agreement. Do you see their fake logic? Oh, you're not. Okay, if you didn't get it, forget it. Jesus was building the document. It was when the document was already built that he went across to the cross to sign it. Do you understand that? So that their logic is not theologically sound. It's good logic, but if in the crucible of theology, it's not sound. The movement was so intense in Nigeria, so I was expecting the fathers of the land to come defend the gospel. And for a long time, nobody spoke. So I decided to volunteer. So when we started that journey, and they were so, if you want to talk about it, they will attack you. I said, I'm not afraid of that. I don't have the reputation. What are you attacking? Okay, when you attack, will it affect the oil? Will it affect the calling? So what are you attacking? You can insult me. That doesn't. I won't even be so insecure as to respond. So we now started setting things in perspective. And it was obvious that that doctrine is quite intelligent, but its source is from man. And that's why it doesn't synchronize with the full scope of the ideology of truth that is in the Bible. But let me stop there. I don't want to trouble you with my problems. I would have shown you more evidences that I brought to the table of litigation to confound that philosophy. And the movement died a natural death. Yes. That's my calling. It's my calling. I'm called to establish and defend doctrine. It's my calling. I'm a foundational functionary. I can come to where people serve idols, preach to them, they give their life to Christ. Then I begin to build them in the Lord. If you see them 2 years later, you will not believe. Because it's a foundational work. You can take the people from zero to hero. Right? So, I found that most of the false initiatives of the kingdom of darkness are coming and attacking our foundations. So it is the duty of the apostle and the prophet to arise to defend our belief system. It's part of our job. Oh, have you seen Paul in Areopagus disputing, contending, and arguing? Those are our three tools. We dispute, we contend, and we argue. Somebody says, we don't want to argue. You are wrong. Our ancestors had to argue in order for them to refute falsehood that was seeking to lay hold on the foundations of our belief system. That's what makes us Christians. Our belief system. What we believe and who we believe is what makes us Christians. So some functionaries must be put at the gate of our belief system to ensure that charlatans don't destroy the heritage, the pure heritage that we have received from our ancestors. And so Jesus built the content of the covenant, the content of the testament. His words, his human living, his actions provided perspective for the content of the testament. And when the content of the testament was fully established, he now went to the cross for the signature. And that's why what speaks in the court is not the blood, but it is the blood of the signature. That's what it means. The blood of what? And you see, it doesn't matter. So when we talk about the blood of sprinkling, it brings to mind the entire scope of the content of the document that Jesus is signing up into law by his blood. You get that? All right, so my concern is the blood of sprinkling this morning. So let's talk about the blood. You see, if I'm in Nigeria, I will not say some things I'm saying here, because some of our fathers have messed up the issue of the blood. And if I teach on that subject, it would look as if I am fighting someone. Meanwhile, what they did was a mess, actually. Hallelujah. May the Lord help you see that this is my calling, that I'm not proud. May He, I don't know how He will help you, but He will help you. So I won't teach this in Nigeria, I will teach it here. They made a lot of statements without studying the Bible. And you see, truth is not emotional. We accept the brother, but this statement is not from God. You know, that's how we preserve truth. So that people in the next three generations will not come up and start doing something that Apostle Paul cannot recognize. Okay? So the issue of the blood has not been handled very well in the church in my country. And I will not say some things if I'm there. At least I'm speaking from Ghana. If someone in Nigeria hears, it's not my, the platform is in Ghana. Alright, so let's go. The first thing that the blood does is that it gives God the legal right to forgive sin. Is there anybody there in the book of John chapter 9, please? The blood does what? It gives God the legal right to forgive sin. Have you seen the book of Colossians? It says, in Him we have redemption, even the forgiveness of sin. John chapter 9, please, I'd like us to look upon it if you are still in the room. Hallelujah. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Do you realize that these guys were going through internship, they were going through discipleship, and Jesus must have told them that the man's sin can be the challenge. Jesus must have told them the man's parents' sin can be the challenge. And so, when they found a man that was born blind, they said this will be a hard case for the master to crack. So they brought their lectures, the lecture notes, and say, okay, in this case now, who sinned that this man was born? Now, was it he himself? So how would he have sinned before he was born? Or, do you understand that? Was it his parents? But the matter here is a matter of sin, whether him or his parents. And I tell you, Satan, who happens to be an accuser, can travel into your lineage to find a fault line. He can find a fault line and take it to court. And because God is a God of justice, judgment, and equity, and His scepter is a right scepter. It is righteousness that is the DNA, that is the operating system of His scepter. So if Satan brings that position, that fault line, in view of righteousness, yes, justice has to be accomplished. And it's not emotional. Right? It is now left to you as a citizen of Zion, who knows the voices that are in the court system of Zion. And say, in Him we have redemption. In Him we have the possibility of the forgiveness of sin. So you bring that claim to court, and the ground that Satan is launching his accusation from can be erased. That's how it works. So today, we are going to take full advantage of the possibilities that the blood of Jesus affords us. Do you realize there was, the lady will be listening to me right now. She's in Brazil. I met her the last time I went to Brazil. She was not filled with the Holy Ghost, so I took her through. And she's very intellectual. She's a PhD holder in one of the sciences. So if you want to say anything, you have to prove it. So I said, oh my God, you met the right guy here. So I now showed her baptism on the Holy Spirit. She now said, what about the speaking in tongues? Where does it come from? Oh, I took her to the book of Matthew chapter 10. When Jesus said, in that hour, you will not premeditate what you need to say. Because in the same hour, the Spirit of your Father, He will speak to you. So that nailed it. She said, my God, I've been missing something. So, and I said, to show you that you don't need me, because the baptizer in the Holy Ghost is Jesus, you speak in tongues without me. So I left the office and she began to speak in tongues. Because her faith, I saw her faith had risen, so she didn't need the preacher. I walked out. And when she spoke in tongues that day, she went back home and began to speak in tongues for 4 hours every day since we met in Brazil. And COVID didn't allow me to go last year. Every day. I've not seen a faithful lady like that. Before you know anything, she has entered into the prophetic and she started seeing stuff and all of that. But she, with all her qualification, she has degrees. Like the degrees on the thermometer, she has degrees, but she can't get a job. Very intelligent, schooled in Britain, very sharp, very articulate. No job. And a few days ago, about 8 days ago, she now said, hey, Pastor, I had a dream. And in my dream, if I interpret it rightly, someone was telling me that I was under a curse. And she said, am I under a curse? I said, well, I may not know because I was not in the dream. But if we want to take precautions, I know how to get you out of it. So I did a diploma course on how to come out of a curse. And then gave her some utterances to declare. You will not believe that she got a job the next day. The court system. She got a job the next day. Meanwhile, this is not a prayerless person. She does 4 hours. But what I'm telling you is not speaking in tongues. Meanwhile, speaking in tongues is good. If you can't do 4 hours, you are in trouble. You are in trouble. You are in serious trouble. You are in bondage. You are in a prison. A flesh has kept you captive. May the Lord help in Jesus' name. So because somebody was getting happy that, hey, it's not about prayer. No. Don't even think that's what I'm saying. There are days and weeks where what we do is pray. You understand? I'm talking about 18 hours a day. Yes. And tomorrow you continue. Next tomorrow you continue. And then you lose every appetite for everything of this world. And you keep traveling until you touch Him. So the prayer is a locomotive train. You know, you have speed trains in China. You have bullet trains. Prayer is locomotive. It's always manual. You know that one they put coal and it goes cuckoo, 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 cuckoo. That's how it is. And you navigate in places in Christ Jesus. Where the answers to your prayers are, they are not in the same location. So you need to locate it. You need to travel. You need to travel. Sometimes you do spiritual travels for many days. And then you arrive at the place where the grace that we attend to the issues that you seek God for is domiciled, and you walk into it. So if you think what I'm saying is building a case for a prayerless woman, you have no idea. My wife carrying pregnancy, she's still doing 3 days dry with more than 100 women. try. She teaches them how to. Somebody just open her mouth like this. That's how to live. That's life. That's the texture of life. When you see, let me stop there. Somebody's offended. Hey, wake up. Can you wake up? Please tell the woman sitting close to you. Hey, wake up. Do you know that some of the witches in Volta, they do more? They do more. I don't have time to build some stuff for you here. No time. They do more. 3 days try. And if she comes back and says, I saw, believe it. Believe. If not, you'll be in trouble. Many times I say, hey, you are seeing what? Don't see. Then Satan now strikes. So, you know, I can't tell her that. I say, okay, see now, be seen. God will not reveal everything to you. That's why we are a body. Your spirit doesn't even have the capacity to host all knowledge. And part of the reasons why he will need to pass through another vessel is for you to understand that you are not in custody of the whole truth. We preach in part and we prophesy in part. I learned those hard knots from the grace that is upon my wife. If she comes back and says, this man will cause trouble, I say, no, it is not given to you to choose the men around my life. It's not part of. 5 years later, the man causes so much trouble. Can you imagine? I had a Jeep, a white Jeep. I gave it to you. All right? I don't know what the value of 1 million naira will be. I gave him 1 million. I didn't have another 1 million. This I picked it on my knees. So I didn't know God was arranging send forth for the man. Send him forth with a Jeep and with 1 million. It was after I gave him these things, he arose and fought me like no other man. I remember when my wife came back from one of those there prayers. He said, this man. And guess what? I will always say, oh my, it's not given to you to. You know, some of us preachers who are very stubborn, but very. So one of the ways God helps us is that those things will not happen terribly. Then you calm down. Okay. Then you go back and say, actually, that thing you said was. Hallelujah. I was so hurt by what happened, but it's my brother. It's just that. It's not God's way for us to work closely, but he's my brother. But I found out the hard way, because I was spiritually fit. God would have spoken to me, but he didn't. Use another vessel. Listen to me. There are times you need to keep food, keep water, and stand before him. You are going to the gym, you want to lose weight. Let me tell you, 2-3 days dry, you rest. Do it 3 times before the month finishes. See, the waste will just come back. It will just come back. It will just, your old clothes will become relevant again. May the Lord give us understanding. The blood of sprinkling gives God the legal right to forgive sin. If you bring repentance, it doesn't matter whether the sin was committed 4,000 years ago, 2,000, it will blot it out. And Satan will lose his ground. Make sure you go to court with the blood, okay? The blood of Jesus happens to be a sign of payment. A sign of what? Payment. You know, when you buy some commodities in the store, you are given receipt. And the receipt is what? Of payment. Proof of payment. That's what the blood is. Say, in the day that you eat of this fruit, you shall surely die. The blood that was spilled was proof that the claims of divine justice was satisfied. So, the blood is proof of payment. So, if the devil comes and is claiming some form of ownership because your grandfather dedicated the entire lineage to him, hallelujah. So, he went without consulting you, using the instrument of headship to put you in bondage, there's a way out. You were paid for. And it doesn't matter how good a commodity is, you don't pay twice. And the blood is evident. So they overcame him by the blood. My grandfather was a warlock. Strange man. No problem. We had to secure our liberty by the blood of Jesus. We don't know where he went. The forest he went. The spirits he communicated with. You don't need all the details. What you need is the blood. I was paid for. I came through his loins. The covenant that I'm in right now, that surpasses every connection that I had in my bloodline. And it happens to be that this covenant was also instituted by blood. Yes, so I come into the court with that blood. I said, I was paid for. So I'm amazed how this demon is claiming that I belong to him when I was paid for. I'm amazed how this sickness keeps coming, which is supposed to be judgment upon me because I refuse to serve this idol. I'm amazed how it is happening because I was paid for. Satan never wants you to say, I was paid for. So say it, because he doesn't want it. I was what? Ooh. And when you insist, this, the devil is going to lose the ability to keep on attacking you because the jealousy of God will be aroused. Yeah. Because when he sees justice, oh my God, he awakes with temper. I was paid. You know, when you are contending with a necromancer, those people that consult the dead and speak to the dead and claim that it's your ancestors that is giving them feedback, they are mediums that can reach your ancestors. Meanwhile, they are just working with familiar spirits. So, if you contend with a necromancer, the only two ways you can defeat him, that's in the natural. Don't drink water. Is that possible? Because the moment you drink water, you have hooked up with it. It will see you. Maybe you are in the UK, in Leicester. The moment you drink water, he will see you. Ah, okay, he traveled. Yeah. The necromancer works with the elements. He works with water and land. The second thing you need to do to fight a necromancer is let your bare foot never touch the ground. He reads water. He reads land. So in the village, witches can threaten you. That's not as bad as when a necromancer threatens. The moment he sees through water that you drank water, he will send the shadow of death. And death will cast a shadow around you. Anything can kill you thereafter. The door can just, the hinge, one of the hinges can just fall out, and then the door will fall on you. You are gone. Anything can kill you in the environment. But you know what? We have contended with necromancers again and again. And instead of us being cut off, the ones that refuse to repent, you know what? He paid. He paid, that's why. It's only those people that their identities are only rooted in the genealogies of mortals that are exposed to the tyranny of the necromancer. I'm not just from a human line. The payments had created the possibility of adoption. So I carry a new name, a new identity, a new international passport. It will be difficult for you to legally claim that I'm yours after the payment. And if I'm not yours, you don't call the shots around me. So the blood of Jesus is proof that he paid. He paid. Number three. Are you there? The blood of Jesus brings all, it's a compendium, a collocation of all the sufferings of Christ. And like I told you, in judicial language, every unjust suffering that was allowed by the authority of the Lord has currency, judicial currency built up by them. The blood of Jesus brings all the sufferings of Christ into the judicial process. All of it. For he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes we are healed. He brings every aspect of his suffering into the judicial process. And so, whereas someone that controls an altar can sacrifice a bull and put the blood on the altar, and then the blood-thirsty demons will come out of the forest. Then he gives them a little to drink. He says, all right, you go to Accra and do this and do that. And the spirit will leave. They are sent on errand to come do damage. And the reason why the spirit is energized is because something was sacrificed. Something suffered. Something was cut off. The possibilities of the thing was cut off. And the value that is created from that supposed possibility is the energy upon which the demon is running. So, as the demon is running with that energy, we now initiate another protocol that is tied to the suffering that came on Jesus. There is no way that your bull can have the same currency in the spirit realm like the sufferings that came on Jesus Christ. It was a bull that was sacrificed. It was the Son of God that was sacrificed. The blood in him. I hope you know in biological, in genetic studies, that's why you can trace a man's gene in a child. Because it's the dad that gives blood. It's your blood that runs through his veins. But Jesus had no human being that fulfilled the role of paternity. So that blood came from God. And there is no way a juju man can find the blood of God to do a sacrifice. So when the demons are coming, the dwarf spirits are coming from the forest, you will pick it up in the spirit. You were sent. Okay, let's start it. Let's look at, I've sent demons back to people that sent them to me to strike them out. And those people will not be able to control those demons again. Because the authority by which I sent them back, there's no antidote that can I'm doing that with boldness because I know they cannot by any satanic means come up with a technology by which they can gather value which is equivalent to the value that we can draw from all of the sufferings of Jesus. It's impossible. I mean, why the best place to pray, if you don't have a prayer place, go to a shrine. That's the best place to pray. Yeah. Nobody will disturb you and say, hey, you're disturbing. And people won't come there. That is a good thing. The blood of sprinkling, it speaketh. It speaketh better things. It sustains a higher vocabulary than the blood of Abel. Finally, before we pray, lest I take your whole Saturday. I don't want to take the whole Saturday. The blood. In the New Testament framework, apart from defeating the enemy, the blood has other functions. Those of you that know the arrangement of the Holy of Holies, the Holy of Holies has no window. The Holy of Holies is pitch darkness. The only thing that makes you see in the Holy of Holies is Shekinah illumination. When the priest brings the blood into the Holy of Holies, nobody can see it. Only God. So there's a Godward angle to the blood. And it is that Godward angle that he said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Oh my. When I see what? I will pass over. Another dimension apart from the Godward dimension is the heartward dimension. For the Bible reveals that the blood of Jesus can cleanse our heart from an evil conscience. An evil conscience is what finds expression when you are under the weight of an accusation. If you are under the weight of an accusation, you cannot fight spiritual warfare because like Goliath, there is a hole in your armor. And when your conscience is dampened, there's a hole in your armor. It means you are vulnerable. There's a passageway through which you can be attacked successfully. And so the blood of Jesus comes to the rescue quickly because it's the only item that can purge your heart from an evil conscience. Is that clear? For a warrior, the state of your heart, if your heart is not light, you are not ready for a battle. It's an indication that there's a hole on your armor. If I need to come to you to apologize for my heart to be light, it is in my interest. Do you understand that? It was God that said, when I see the blood, I will pass over. Maybe there's a curse functioning the entire landscape. Oh my God. Those that know how to use the blood can occasion a Passover. It will pass over my household. It can still operate in the next neighbor's house. But for me, there is what? A Passover. Today we are going to pray. And as we pray today, there will be a Passover. Oh, today is Good Saturday. Maybe that's why God is leading us here. There must be a Passover. Must be. There must be. There must be a Passover. I speak with boldness because I've seen those people that human beings call the strong. I saw them fall when they tried to engage in battle. It's not by brute strength, it's by court wisdom. And when you have the blood on your side, you cannot fail. We want to pray in the moment of time. Oh! You see, he has sent angels already. He has sent angels already. Kovesali munda iko palama. Mahasosele kuria. Can you demand the Passover? Can you demand the Passover? For when I see the blood, I will pass over. I will pass over. I will pass over. When I see it, make sure you raise the blood so high for him to see it. All he needs is to see it. For when I see, the reaction is activated. The moment I see the blood, I will pass over. Oh, siakom braski so se rema katali masukli abrasketo. Yamon selimanda. When I see that blood, I will pass over. The angel of death will lose his authority. He will not be able. You want to engage in a moment of time. You want to engage. When I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass. I will pass. I want you to tell the devil that I have the receipt, the document for payment. I was fully bought. I was fully paid for. I was fully paid for. You have no power over me. No power over my womb. No power over my possibility to bear children. When I see the blood, oh my. Make sure you're talking to him. And for those of you online, make sure you're engaging him in the court of heaven. He wants to see the blood. The entire scope of the justice system is going to change when he sees the blood. Kobin anseli kobres kofela hasali mando sese mahalatos keto brokotelia shaman selimo koria sakatale monde. Igamantoria shikle. When I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass. I will pass. We proclaim a Passover this morning in the name of Jesus. In the spirit of the Easter season, we proclaim a Passover on your life. And those things that have contended with you, contended with your business, contended with your family life, oh, we put a notice. We put a notice on the devil. We put a notice on the devil. You no longer have place. You no longer have any right to stand in the way. The blood speaks better things than the blood of Abel. Yamomose, Rabo Siko Selimone, Mantala Bobo Santeria, Yikabo Semaseli, Raskatoke Patalanto Sebriga, Rababadasco Pre, Yamon Sales, Obresco Felama Salabata, Embrasco Velamose,
Rabos kapata ila kombre, iemaseli kombra skata bobosila, ikapanzo seelia braskeza salamanda, amesko felame sila bronde, ekapesko felasatala, ebraskanta babobe, a new door opens over your life. Everything that the devil has stopped, has blocked, we command it to open up in the name of Jesus. Mande susela mahaito, prescofela masanta bahala kuria, zebra kabesote balata branta, mezose, labro kote, masketo brondo bokoria, bela braske susela, bela brendo samasale, bela kuria mama. Yeah, yeah, and yeah, Aminabo.
Seeing this certificate is not in a good place. As long as that certificate is there, you can't use it to get a job. But you see, God will do something in a moment right now. Yes, we'll do something, and in a short while that job will come up. All right, Lord, in the name of Jesus, I break that curse that was put on that certificate by the power that is in the blood of Jesus Christ. Let that job come out in Jesus' name. So, you have a job, and you are going to see it in the next few weeks. Finally, this scripture came upon my heart, and the burden shall be lifted from off your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. There are a few people here. The anointing of the Lord will come upon you, then the yoke will break. Right? And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you stretch forth your hand across the hall, upon the gallery. Because this morning, we plead that you break yokes by the anointing. And so from my left hand side to my right hand side, to the back of the hall, those ones, Lord, that need an anointing in order for the yokes to break, I ask that you anoint this month. Stop praying. Can you stop praying? I ask those ones that need an anointing to displace the yoke that has been operating over their lives. I ask that you release the anointing from my left hand side to the right hand side to the gallery. Let that anointing begin to drop. Let it begin to locate them. Let it begin to come stronger. Let it begin to come stronger. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Let it come stronger. Yes, that anointing is coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Lord, we give you praise. Yes, Lord, that thank you for that one that you have delivered already. Now the yoke shall be destroyed. The yoke shall be destroyed. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. It's coming strong. Coming strong. Ushers, if you find anyone, bring them, and I need to touch them. It's coming stronger. It's coming stronger. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost. Move. It's coming stronger. If you find them, you bring them, ushers. And the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke shall be destroyed. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing, and the burden shall be lifted from off your shoulder, and the yoke from off your neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. The yoke is, ooh, there's somebody here, your marital door has opened, you will see a sign shortly, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. Thank you, Lord, this morning. And everyone is set on course for destiny. The fetters are broken. The chains give way. We break free by the blood of Jesus. We access that which was ordained concerning us by the blood of Jesus. Oh, Lord. And that marital door that you have opened, we secure it. We secure that door by the blood of Jesus. Let your people step into the things that have been denied them by reason of accusations in the spirit. We destroy the claims of darkness and we enter in triumphant procession into the large place that you have made for us. The yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing.
Strength of your hands. The great revelation of the mystery of the blood and the mystery of the sprinkling blood. Just begin to speak into his life. Let your prayer go before God as an incense. Pray that the Lord God will keep him, his body in health. The Lord will protect him and his team. Father, we just give you thanks, Lord. In Jesus' precious mighty name. Pray for bodily health. Pray that the Lord will keep his body in health. In Jesus' name, Lord. Praise you, Lord. We thank you, Holy Spirit, Lord. In Jesus' name, Lord. Rock of ages, cleft for me. Let me hide myself in thee. Let the waters and the blood from thy river side it flows. Be our sinners, for me, let me hide,
myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy
in Jesus' name, we ask for bodily strength. We ask that, Lord, you increase in your servant. We ask that, Lord, your signs and your wonders through him, your word through him, shall increase, be even more effective. For even as you use him to touch lives, use lives to touch him. And I pray that, Lord, you will, out of your providence, will provide all resources that is needed for his ministry work. In Jesus' precious mighty name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. We just thank God for that. Shall we be seated, the servant of God? Since Wednesday, even before then. And if you are a preacher, you know what it means to finish a message and go home, and what your body is telling you. You know, more so, such lengthy teachings and standing. That is why it's just good to appreciate grace gifts. Sometimes when you are receiving, we don't really know what it takes to be standing here hours and after hours and talking. You know, and it's good to appreciate people like this who God has placed in the body. Amen. So, man of God, we thank God for your life. We celebrate the gift in the man in Jesus' name. Amen. Protocol, can you just take your offerings? Take your offerings. Let's do something special. Today's Saturday. Tomorrow is the last day he's here with us. We need to show appreciation. I say I'm not going to ask you to take your 10,000, do this or not. But out of your heart, show appreciation. So take something very substantial and let's celebrate the gift. Will you please lift it up? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you, Lord, that we are celebrating the gift with our substances. And we ask, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, that, Lord, even as we give, we are connecting directly, Father, Lord, with the grace upon his life. Therefore, Lord Jesus, at this moment, we pray that this seed, this gift, these offerings connect directly with the oil that is upon the man of God's life. In Jesus' precious mighty name, we pray it's sealed by faith. Amen. Ushers, let's hurry up. Forgiving, God bless you for giving. Okay, just a minute. We have few of his books. Can you bring them? We have few of his books available. I had my set some years back. Give me my glasses, please. So we have Choice, Man's Most Important Power. So Choice, Man's Most Important Power. We have an epistle to the apostles in the marketplace. An epistle to the apostles in the marketplace. Then we have Kingdom Recalibration here. Then we have Godward, Finding the True North. Godward, Finding the True North. Then we have Go Unto the World. Go Unto the World. The prices are here. I think some are 60, some are 55. Godward is 35. And I think when you get there, they will give you the price. So Kingdom Recalibration is 60. That is heavy one, 60. I don't think we have Beth in the His Excellency is finished. Godward is 35. Apostles in the Marketplace is 40. Going to the World is 35. Choice is 30. We have limited copies up there. So when you step out, I think it would be good that you have this resource and make it your own. I will also advise that you buy the set if you have the ability. Shall we be on our feet? Remember, service starts at 8:30 tomorrow, where he will be speaking. He just mentioned to me what he will be touching on. Something you don't have to miss. We must not be too denominationally minded. We must know where the Spirit is directing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we share the grace? May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the sweet fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us all now and forevermore. Amen. Hallelujah. God loves you. Can we have our pastors out of the temple, please? Men of God, please, if you can just step out. God bless you for coming. I believe you follow authority.